All right, and we are back. Now, as keeping with our kind of streak here, we got another interview. These guys are really cool. I've been digging their music lately. We have Against the Sun with us here today. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
Hey, what's up, everybody? My name is Brad. I'm the singer and guitar player for Against the Sun.
Hey, my name is Alex. I play bass and I do a little bit of singing and screaming for Against the Sun.
Hey, I'm Connor. I'm the drummer of Against the Sun. I also do backup vocals.
All right, well, welcome to the show.
Woo! Thanks for having us, Max. This is really cool.
No problem, man. Sorry it took so long, because I remember you guys asked if you could come on the show in like early October, I think.
Something like that, but you know, everybody's busy. I'm sure you got a, you know, packed schedule, so it's all good.
Yeah, I got a bunch more interviews lined up. I actually have another one later today, so.
Nice. I mean, that's the way to do it. Stay busy, you know, put out as much as you can.
Yep. And it definitely, you know, I love to keep busy. It keeps my mind off things, you know?
Oh, totally. Yeah. Totally. How'd you come across us, Max?
I think you came across me, actually.
Oh, like, really?
I think so. I can't either that, or I saw you on like an Instagram ad and followed you. I remember it was because Dead Man's Party just came out when you asked me, I think, or it was soon thereafter.
You mean Facebook ads actually work? Oh my God. That's crazy.
I know. I've came across some pretty good bands and stuff from Instagram ads. So it's actually kind of useful.
They definitely can be if you know what you're doing, and I'm a constant student to learn more and more.
Well, you guys definitely picked up the right guy, because I've really been enjoying your stuff.
Thank you so much, man. And that Dead Man's Party cover was kind of in the works for quite a while, but it's a fun one, you know. It drives. It's really hard rocking.
Yeah, you guys have been getting a lot of publicity.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. We got some local zines that were able to write about it, which is really cool. We had the guitar player of, or I'm sorry, the bass player of Oingo Boingo actually hit us up and that checked out the cover, which was kind of like a, you know, starstruck moment.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. Was trying to hope we could get it, you know, in front of the eyes of Danny Elfman himself, the man himself, but we're still working on it.
Yeah. Well, you know, everything with time.
Of course.
Yeah. So, you guys been working on any, new music lately?
Yes. We have been writing. We are just about to go into the studio to record some things. So we got a whole new batch of songs and start to work on a whole new batch of recordings. So,
oh yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And, you know, Dead Man's Party was actually the first track that Connor himself was on. And so these new batch of songs are all with Connor's special touch on the drums. So we're very excited to show everybody what Connor can do.
I touched them very specially.
Oh my God, stop.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. We aren't Blink-182, right, Alex?
Yeah, we're not. No, that's a fun story.
So, did you guys know this? I'm not sure if you did, but you guys are the oldest band that has ever come on the show.
Oh, really? Oh,
don't make us feel weird.
Yeah, yeah. That first EP that you released in 2014, right?
Yeah, I've been doing this since I was like 18 or so. I made that three track like right at the tail end of high school. I pretty much made it by myself. I hired a buddy of mine to do the drums because that's the only instrument I couldn't do. And then, you know, we've kind of gone through, you know, I had this project going on throughout when I was in high school and college, and I didn't come from any kind of money or anything like that. I had no family in that, in the music industry, whatever. So I had absolutely no idea what I was doing. Just like to write songs and play shows and whatever. So we kind of bebopped around for a while, went through lots of different styles, went through lots of different lineup changes. And then finally around in like 2018, so about 4 years later, we kind of found a pretty good solid group of guys. That's when I met Brad Mitchell, our guitar player, who unfortunately is out skiing right now, so he's not what an ass. But met him. We were able to drop that song Falling Apart, which we still play live. That came out in 2018. At the tail end of 2019, right before the pandemic hit, we met Alex. And he just brings so much to the table as far as songwriting and aggressiveness with his screaming and everything like that, because I am not a very good screamer. So Alex really holds out the sound. You know, we released some songs throughout 2020, which was really cool. Got good reception, released more songs this year. And then this year we were able to find that missing piece with Connor here, who not right. only brings a certain high level of technicality with his playing, but also brings that Gen Z humor that this band yeah. so desperately needs.
So. Yeah, I can definitely hear over the years your sound has kind of changed a little bit. Like that first EP kind of had that pop punk vibe to it. And then you kind of, as time has gone on, you kind of had like that more metalcore sound, you know?
Yeah, it's funny how, I mean, so I'm into all, you know, that early stuff again is mainly like my songwriting, and I'm into all kinds of stuff from super like brutal metal all the way to like emo and pop punk and stuff. So, and I like to think that all those different strands, you know, are still present in the music we write today. Like, you know, I approach every chorus pretty much as if it's kind of a pop punk chorus, mainly because I think the hook is so important to write around. You know, and that's something that pop music and in turn pop punk music teaches really well, is that it's all about the hook. It's all about making things catchy to sing along to.
Definitely.
So I'd like to, you know, those strands again, those inspirations, I hope you can still hear. But yes, it's gotten in a heavier direction. Our guitarist Brad is such a metalcore guy. Alex is like a total metalhead. And Connor is into all this, you know, like gent and periphery and stuff like that. So it's only gone
weird ass music
and weird ass music. So it's only gotten heavier with everybody's inspirations. But you know, we still like really strong melodies along with the really heavy guitars, mm-hmm. and the singing is absolutely paramount, and you know, and writing parts that are fun to listen to, you know, when you're alone, but also really fun to headbang to and go crazy to live.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, man. That's very obvious in your music. I can tell. Like, I really like that. On the way to where I'm recording right now, I was listening to Chelsea Said, and just that initial guitar riff is like super heavy. And then you kind of go in a more melodic direction during the song. And I kind of like that.
You know, yeah, man. And keep your ears peeled or your eyes peeled for that Chelsea Said. But yeah, I think somebody commented when it first came out is like if Stained went pop punk. And at the time, that's exactly what I was going for. So.
Awesome, man. Well, that's pretty cool. I like that. So you guys, like, I have a question. And this is just more less about like the actual songs, but more about being in the actual band. Because I just joined a band, and I want to know is being in. Oh, thanks. I'm a vocalist in it. I'm a death metal. It's a black metal band, and I'm like the.
Nice. Alex loves black metal.
I'm the extreme vocalist in it. We have a clean singer as well. So
oh, nice.
Yeah, but
that's not true black metal.
I know.
I'm just kidding.
No, your album better be called Forest Fringe, man.
It ain't black metal if there ain't no gatekeeping.
Yeah.
All the we're just elitists.
Right.
But yeah, so because I just joined the band and I was wondering, is being in a band gonna get me chicks, you know?
I mean, not with black metal.
Well, let me add to that. If you're wearing corpse paint,
then yes.
No, definitely. I was going to say then no,
But maybe. No, the corpse paint is what makes it.
All right, look, fellas, let's just call it what it is. It's makeup. It's not corpse
paint.
No,
it's corpse paint.
No, you didn't rob a grave, okay? You didn't burn down any churches. It's fucking, it's your mom's makeup that you got from Party City, okay?
I will tell you this, Max. I have had multiple long-term partners in my life. I have not met any of them through music. So take that what you will.
All right.
But Connor might. Connor might have had. I think Connor's had more luck than myself.
Yeah, I actually. So I just got out of a relationship, like a 3-year relationship. Don't worry, and it ended really good. So no one's upset. But we met at. She was playing the same show that I was. Like we were both on the same bill, and she was the band that went on before me, and I saw her and I was like, that one, I like her. It was the bass player. I'm really into bass players. Don't know why. Bass players are just really hot. But yeah, that's how I met my ex-girlfriend. And we're still really good friends, so you know.
That's cool.
I got grinded on at a one of our shows.
When chicks get drunk, man, they just want to grind up on Alex. I've seen it happen several times in a row at our shows, and it's just the funniest thing.
It's really weird too, because like I don't know, like sometimes I just look at Alex and like, man, that guy's fucking ugly, but then he just gets all the chicks and I'm like,
Jesus,
I'm like, damn, maybe I should, you know.
It's the stash, Alex, and now you shaved it off.
It looks better now, dude. I look you like you said, I look like I'm 19 again. And I'm 27, by the way. Well, you're fat.
I'm
ugly.
Fat.
Hey, Brad, you call me ugly. Come on, man.
Yeah. Alex, I'm fat, but I'm fucking working out. And I'm getting ripped. So just you watch. In 2 years, I'm gonna go away for 2 years, and I'm gonna come back. I'm gonna be the knife master, okay? I'm gonna be ripped as fuck. I'm gonna be the knife master, okay?
He's gonna go work out in a mountain in Tibet.
Just you fucking watch, all right?
I'll hold you to it, buddy.
He's going to train with some sort of kung fu master.
Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen some videos of your live shows. They can get pretty crazy, hey?
That was the most Canadian thing in the world.
Oh yeah, I was.
He said, "Hey." He didn't say "A." He said,
"No."
Hey.
He did say "A."
He said,
"Go ahead." Don't be racist, Brad.
No, that's not.
I knew I messed up when I said "A."
No, I love it. I love the like the Canadian lingo. It's I love it. I actually dig it. It's like I wish I could talk that way, honestly.
I don't even realize it most of the time until then. I'm talking
about like a boot.
We don't do that. That is a myth. That is a myth.
Do you say sorry?
Yes, I say sorry lots.
Oh, you said sorry with the you know on that one. So
it depends on the situation as well. Like if I'm in a conversation, I'll usually say it how the stereotypical Canadian would say it. It's sorry, more of a time saver. Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, dude, the shows. Yeah, I mean, it, you know, when we get the right crowd, it can get pretty rowdy, and we love it when, you know, obviously we want everybody's safety to be paramount, but you know, if we see people moshing out there and dancing and have a good time, I mean, that's what we do it for, you know? And so, yeah, we've had some shows where it gets pretty intense and stuff, but that's, I don't know, when you're playing heavy music, that's sort of what you want.
Yeah.
You know, you want people to respond, with a lot of energy. And I know a lot of that comes from us as well. You know, it's sort of our job to kind of get the crowd whipped up. And sometimes it comes down to giving it your all. Sometimes it comes down to just playing the right song. Like we were playing a Halloween show in San Diego and, you know, first nobody knew us there. And the first half of the set, you know, people were, in, you know, a few people were enjoying it, yada, yada, yada. And everybody was Five listening people. And stuff. Yeah, it wasn't a big crowd. And then we played a cover of Days of the Phoenix by AFI. And suddenly all these people were at the front of the stage and people were running and dancing. I mean, people were going like ape shit over this AFI cover. And that's what kind of brought them in. And they stayed for the second half of the set, which was great. So sometime, but it's funny because, you know, you play that same song to a different crowd. And there's, you know, it's crickets. So it's always a little bit of a gamble to figure out, you know, what song is going to respond really well with what crowd. At the end of the day, you just have to play what you want to play, be true to yourself, and hope that it connects with people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of insane things that happened at shows, I want to talk about Dark Thor.
Dark Thor is a legend.
Dark Thor is a fucking legend. All right, so we were playing at this venue called Malone's. Well, now it's called Stages, but... There's this one band, or this not band, this one guy. His name is Dark Thor, and he, you know, he has like the BC Rich, like crazy bass that's like red, and it looks like it came from hell itself. And this guy, I don't know if he was drunk or not, but this man saunters up during our set with like a slice. He had a slice of pizza, right, or was it a hot dog?
Pizza.
It was pizza.
Yeah. So he saunters up with like a slice of pizza, and he grabs the mic and he goes, "I just want to say, this band is fucking heavy and they're fucking awesome." And he just walked off stage, but like my heart dropped when he walked on stage. So I was like, uh-oh, this is about to go down. Some yeah. shit is about to happen, and I don't know if I'm ready to take on a 6'5" 60-year-old older guy, right? yeah
this dude's dressed out in like spikes and like battle armor looking clothes and everything like that. I mean, this guy was a total character. And
black
he was
metal
doing...
without the corpse paint.
Black metal without the corpse paint. And he like did his whole performance. I mean, he used backing tracks and he's a bass player and he just did vocals and bass himself and everything was backing tracks like that. And I'm like, wow, that takes some balls to go up there by yourself, man. Yeah. That's crazy.
I think though, like those one man bands are like crazy to watch.
Like, I'd say we got a two man band here that we play with a lot. They're called Bantamweight, and Bantamweight, if you're listening, I love
so
you.
Good.
They're a two piece. So the singer does bass and vocals, and he plays, you know, 5-6 string bass. I mean, it's kind of like Animals as a Leader was kind of bass stuff.
It's a five string.
Okay. And then the drummer does drums and keyboard at the same time.
yeah he plays the drummer's name is Max and the bass player's name is Keith, right? Yeah it's Keith. So Max, like, he plays one-handed drums, and he also plays keyboard at the same time, and I'm so jealous because like I want to do that. That's fucking awesome.
Yeah, and then your music is just amazing.
Dude, when we first saw them, I was like, all right, that's it. This is like the pinnacle of musicianship. I don't know if we can top this, fellas. Like, you know, sometimes you just see a band and you're like, well, shit.
Yeah, like,
should we just give them our set time? Like, they can play longer, you know?
No, they're all cool guys. Like, we got to, like, know them through the past few shows. And, like, dude... super super chill people. Like,
yeah, like they're smart enough and talented enough to be really arrogant, but they're so nice actually. And they write, you know, they write like insanely prog kind of electronic rock kind of stuff, and you figure like, oh my god, these guys are going to be the most like snobby da 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 whatevers. And we sit around and talk with them and they're just like, hey, check out this, like, you know, Team Fortress 2 meme I have on my phone. Like, they're just like the coolest guys.
I compare them like this. Like, I go, they're Tame Impala with on acid, but with a little bit of meth in it as well. Like, it's got that like weird Impala, like heaviness, and just like kind of like weird, like it's just it. Some of their songs, they just kind of like things happen out of nowhere, but like, you know, it works, and it just kind of like catches you off guard sometimes. And that's just the best way I can describe them.
That's sick, man. I can't even imagine doing two instruments at once.
Yeah, Max is like, he's just absolutely insane. He's
and it's hilarious because Max is like has the longest hair you've ever seen on a human being, and then Keith is completely bald.
And it was funny. Like the first time we met, I went up to Keith, the bass player, and I was like, "Hey, did your drummer like steal your hair? What's going on with that?" Which, you know, I don't think you should say that to someone when you first meet them, because that might be kind of rude. But he just laughed it off. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's how you know, like, that they're cool. You know, if you say a joke like that and they laugh at it, that's when you know, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So every time we see that we're playing with Bantamweight, we're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like, we get to play with Bantamweight. That's awesome. So, you know, yeah. And we're in the same local scene and stuff. We know some of the same people. So, you know, hopefully to keep on playing shows with them and hopefully one day to tour with them, you know, that would be an awesome, awesome tour to go on.
That'd be pretty sick. Yeah. Have you guys ever done a tour before?
Not any huge tour or anything like that. I mean, like playing different. I mean, we did like, I think up in the high desert to San Diego and stuff like that. But no, we've never, you know, it's never made a ton of like financial sense for us. I mean, at this, you know, we're in Southern California, right? I mean, there's millions and millions of people right here at home. Yeah. So we've never really had the need necessarily to go on tour. I mean, if we get picked up for a tour or want to do, you know, a weekend run or something like that, we're more than happy to. I know our guitar player, he is roommates with the drummer of a deathcore band out here called Marked Life, and they do a lot of shows out in like Arizona. Like Arizona has a really great metal scene.
Yeah.
So I'd be totally for that. We're not too far from Las Vegas either, and Las Vegas has a pretty awesome scene and stuff. But you know, I mean, between like LA, Orange County, Riverside, San Diego, I mean, there's a ton of great venues and great bands and fans here. So, you know, we don't necessarily have to go too far.
Well, that's perfect. That's perfect. You know, like around here, you'd have to go for like some sort of travel because there's not a lot of people, but
yeah, I can only imagine.
Yeah.
But before I joined Against the Sun, I actually went on tour. It was like 2 weeks long. And we went from like Arizona all the way to Chicago, and we ended up playing in Lollapalooza. So that was pretty cool.
That's pretty sick, man.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
So where's the hookup for that, Connor?
Yeah.
Well, it was granted it was with like School of Rock. I don't know if you've ever heard of like School of Rock or if there are any in your area, but it's basically like a program that you go to and you take lessons there, but you also start a band but they have like this band program and you guys learn songs and then you go play. And there's this thing called School of Rock All-Stars, which takes like the top 1% of students from like across the country. And then they're just like, all right, we're going to split you all into teams. So I think I was team five, and they just send you like across the country to go play shows.
So that's pretty cool. Sick.
Yeah. It was pretty fun.
So you made it into the top 1% then?
Yeah. I think it was around like six. No, I was like 15 or 16.
Damn.
Yeah, I've been playing drums for about 15 years now. I'm 20, so.
Started out young.
Yeah, I did.
That's probably the best way to do it, though. You know, because I wish I would have started an instrument earlier.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Like, when I was younger, I didn't necessarily take drumming seriously. I only started taking it seriously when I was in eighth grade.
Yeah.
So like honestly, I'd like to think I'm pretty good now, but if I would have just like actually practiced when I was, you know, really young, like five to 11, I regret not practicing.
I feel the same way. I started guitar when I was 11, but I didn't start taking it seriously until I was about 13 or 14. But like, I just gotten those extra few years. I started like playing guitar at the same time I started playing like Guitar Hero, and I was a huge Guitar Hero fan, and I played way more of that in middle school than I actually did playing guitar.
Dude, that's how I played Rock Band. That's how I actually got good at like my sense of timing and rhythm. Rock Band and Guitar Hero are pretty good for teaching you how to like keep time and like, you know, hit things on the right time.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe get Rock Band, dude. That'll really
yeah,
help.
I should practice with Rock Band right now. And we'll see.
I used to play Guitar Hero. Then I lost the disc. And yeah,
the big sad.
I used to play it like really. I used to get like really into it.
Yeah, I could never quite beat Through the Fire and Flames on Expert. That's the only song.
Oh, what a loser!
I know it's the only song in Guitar Hero history that I've never been able to play, but I could do every other one.
Wow. I've lost all respect for you, Brad.
I know I'm a poser.
Yeah, yeah. Get out.
Leave the podcast right now,
yeah.
Sir.
Everyone else can stay except for you.
I liked Guitar Hero and Rock Band. Rock Band's controller, though, like the guitar controller, was
awful.
Awful, yeah. I mean, it was cool when you had like the high tones, you know, like you could like go up the neck, and like that was cool, but it really didn't do anything like,
yeah.
Like different.
It was so unresponsive.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
what
the, I the weird like when you're picking on Rock Band, I learned it was better to play with the Rock Band controller while using an actual pick. Like I started doing that for a little bit. Yeah. Like it worked. It worked though, because like I don't know, it just did. Like I can't explain it, it just did.
Because
like Guitar Hero's controller, it was like, you know, it would click every like strum you made, but Rock Band didn't do that, and it, like sometimes you would like think you're plucking it hard enough, like without a pick, and then it's like, oh, you missed a note. It's like, fuck you, I totally fucking hit the note. Yeah.
You go back and play those earlier Guitar Heroes too, and they're awful, but like Guitar Hero 3 is still just so responsive and so smooth. It feels so good to play.
Oh, that one's the best.
Yeah.
I liked the new one where it was only like, it was like three buttons, but kind of like six buttons. I don't know. It forced you to like have different shapes like with your fingers instead of just like every fret was its own button. Yeah.
That sounds pretty cool. I've never seen that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think it came out like 5 years ago, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, like it had a good like
it was a complete flop.
It had a good song list though, dude. I digged it. I didn't buy it. Like it was my friend's.
There you go.
I don't play video games that much anymore anyway, but if I could find Guitar Hero 3 again, I would definitely start playing that.
Dude, fly down to SoCal. I got it right now. I'm a big gamer, so I still have all my consoles like set up at all times, ready. I don't have any time to play as much as I'd want to, but I still have all my consoles set up, all ready to go, and you know, I've played video games like so religiously growing up, so I love them.
Do you have a
damn? It's still $50. What the hell?
The controller, what? Dude.
No, this is just by itself. It's $50 on
just
Xbox.
The game?
And then, yeah, just the game, and then it's $70 on PlayStation.
Jesus Christ!
Like,
it's hilarious, because
like,
you could just probably get it for free, like pirating it online.
Well, yeah.
It's $13 on PC, though.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Dude, why is it all right. Expensive? Enough about Guitar Hero, though. Next question.
Talk about real instruments, people.
Yeah.
Of course, the most basic question of all, what are your guys' influences?
Ooh. Can I go first?
Yeah, go for it, Connor.
All right, so my influences in terms of drumming are The Rev from Avenged Sevenfold. He like Avenged Sevenfold is literally how I even got into music. My dad showed me Beast and the Harlot when I was like really, I was like five, and he showed me Beast and the Harlot. And he's like, Connor, come here, this song's awesome. And I was like, yeah, this song is awesome. So that's kind of how I started drumming. And then let's see, Matt Halpern from Periphery, literally a god in my eyes. And then Matt Gartzka from Animals as Leaders. He's pretty killer. So, yeah.
All that prog picks. Gent shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all good picks, man.
Thank you.
Alex, go ahead.
Yeah. Mine's a little more like old school, but like...
Butt rock.
Like Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath, Steve Harris from Iron Maiden. A little bit of Les Claypool. I mean, I'm definitely not as good as that, but like whenever it comes to like making, trying to make like a weird sound or anything, like I haven't really incorporated it into our music yet, but I always try to like think of what would sound kind of cool. And it's always like, all right, let's see what Les would play.
Yeah.
And then like right now when I write, cause I like, Brad said earlier, like I'm a metalhead, but like I grew when I first started playing, like it was all, I started an alternative band and then I had my own pop punk band, and I'm actually really like heavily influenced by like Mark Hoppus's playing from Blink-182. Like I like his use of like chords and yeah. Like almost like I think almost every song I do something like that. So I mean that's basically my stuff. It's funny though, my like all the guys I named earlier, they all don't use a pick, but I use a pick.
I'd say, I mean, I have a lot of, like I said earlier, diverse influences, but I think my center is like hard rock. So like growing up, my favorite band was 3 Days Grace, and Adam Gontier is like by my favorite vocalist. Like I watched the music video to Animal I Have Become and was like, you know, at like 12 years old, and I was like, that's what I want to do. And I love him today. I love Breaking Benjamin. I love Chevelle and Seether and Disturbed and all those bands. So that's one thing. And then I like a little bit of the heavier stuff. Like Slipknot has always been one of my favorite bands. Early Linkin Park was huge on me. And then I have the whole other like pop punk and emo side of things. So like I love Newfound Glory. They're like the best pop punk band ever and always will be, and I love them to death. Blink-182, huge fan of them. And then the emo stuff, like I fell in love with Sunny Day Real Estate in high school, and that kind of inspired a love of emo and to stuff like Have Mercy and like Real mm-hmm. Friends and the Wonder Years and stuff. And so I mean all kinds of different bands, but again, like even the rock bands I said, like 3 Days Grace, Breaking Benjamin, all them, you know, they'll have heavy guitars, and like some of the, you know, like Chevelle and stuff like that will have some screaming, but like all of those bands still knew that the melody and the hook and the chorus is so important to what they do. So everything that I listen to, aside from maybe some of the fringe kind of really heavy stuff, most of everything I listen to is really melodic. Yeah. And when I even, you know, when I'm listening to newer artists, the vocals are always the biggest thing for me, and not everybody necessarily pays attention to it. But if, you know, even if I like the instrumentals, I could love the instrumentals, but if the singer comes in and the singer doesn't sound good, I cannot like the band. It's just one of those. I'm very picky with the vocals of the stuff I listen to. They have to be a good singer for me anyway.
I get you. That's something that a lot of people don't understand, you know?
Yeah, and I mean, with vocals, it's, you know, slight. I mean, obviously there is, you know, someone could be an objectively really bad singer and stuff. But with vocals, I think it's the most subjective of all instruments, especially in rock and metal, you know, because someone could be a technically really bad singer, but if they have a super interesting tone, or the way that they deliver and the way that they emote is really interesting, you know, you can forgive a lot of those issues. You know, like you listen to MTV's Unplugged of Nirvana, right? Like Kurt's not always singing on pitch, but it doesn't matter because he's putting so much into what he's singing, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I always appreciate good technique. I'm kind of a stickler for my pitch, and I want to be as, you know, because I'm a classically trained vocalist. So I try to drill in that technique as much as I can. But I also, you know, I'm perfectly fine. Again, if someone can catch my attention with the way that they're singing, the emotion they're putting into their performance, they don't necessarily have to be perfect, but I can't stand, you know, singers that just kind of phone it in or don't do something to separate themselves out from the crowd, you know?
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I get you. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. What to you is an objectively bad, like, band or singer or you, like, in your opinion, what is an objectively bad, like, singer or band?
Dude, Alex is Grace. I don't get it.
He hates my favorite artist.
I don't get it, dude. I don't get that band. Like, it's not good. Like, it's so simple. And I really don't like his voice. It's just like in the song that we played, I Hate Everything About You, I think he sounds like shit on the record. Like in the chorus, especially.
You're insulting my literal inspiration.
But... Like, dude, I just don't
Brad, let's roll it back here because you don't even like David Bowie. So
I don't. You're right. Here's the thing, Max. Here's my answer to that question. I don't think there's anything as such as objective good or bad music. I think everything is completely subjective. So I don't think, whatever. But subjectively, you're right. I can recognize that David Bowie is a very accomplished songwriter. And obviously millions of fans. I know he's very popular. That's great. I just cannot stand his voice. I cannot get into David Bowie.
I hate David Bowie, too. He's a good songwriter, but he just sucks.
No, his voice, I just can't do it.
No, dude. It's the 70s. You didn't need a voice, bro. It was the sex appeal.
Freddie Mercury would like to disagree, all right?
All it was was sex appeal.
I hate Queen, too.
Oh, my God.
What?
I know.
Wait, Max, you lost me.
I've never liked Queen. I understand the appeal, but I just never have. I have a friend that like is really into Queen, but I hate it.
Is there any of the 70s bands that you're into?
I like that. I like the funk sound. I like the 70s funk bands.
Okay.
And I like a lot of the 70s like rock. I like Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show.
What about Boston?
Boston, yeah, they're good. I like Boston. I can get behind that.
All right, there's something out.
You guys are such dads.
Boston is killer, man.
Yacht Rock is where it's at for me, you know?
Oh, man.
I used to jam Boston's first album all the time.
Because it's so good.
Yeah, it's really good. My favorite 70s band is the Stones. Like, I think they're the best.
They're critical,
they're fucking awesome. I saw them live a couple months ago, and they're old as fuck, but they still put on a great show.
I still think a lot of Black Sabbath stuff totally holds up today.
Oh yeah, metal.
of course
because it's metal. Metal is age.
Here's my objectively bad band, and I know this isn't a hot take or anything, but fucking Limp Bizkit, right?
Are you
a Limp Bizkit fan?
I'm a Bizkit bumper, bro.
Oh no!
I love Limp Bizkit.
No, they're bad. No. They're bad.
I'm sorry. Like, here's the thing. All the instrumentalists, really good. I'm not gonna knock the instrumentals, but Fred Durst, man, I gave it all for the nookie.
I listen to their instrumentals sometimes, and I love their instrumentals. Good heavy bounce riffs, really fun stuff. And then like Fred Durst gets on the track, and he just sounds so like I could get past some of the dumb lyrics some of the times, but it's the way he delivers it is just so like wimpy, which is the reason why the only song I like by them is actually Dad Vibes, because he's just kind of chill on the track, and I'm like, all right, like, I can vibe with it.
You know the meme how, like, when you see, like, a rapper, and it's, like, a song, and then featuring Nicki Minaj, you're like, oh, fuck, well, this is going to be terrible, because, you know, I guess people hate Nicki Minaj. It's like that. Fred Durst is, like, he just gets on the mic, and you're like, oh, shut the fuck up. It's like, Jesus Christ. We get it. You know?
I've always been a fan of nu metal. Like,
I love I'm a Korn. Big nu metal fan too. I love
Oh yeah, yeah, me too.
Like, and even like rap metal too, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I understand why you don't like Limp Bizkit. It's different, honestly. Like, it's weird, but honestly, everything after Hot Dog sucked. But
Alex likes Golden Cobra.
I love Golden Cobra. Just that
there's
song.
A few good, there's I a like few that tracks,
song.
But
that song is better than the new album. That whole song is better than the whole album, new album.
I didn't like that new album that much.
I like that.
Hey,
part.
Hey, Max.
That was a good
like,
opera, right?
If you like rap metal, I highly recommend DVSR. They're like gent mixed with rap. And then another band I highly recommend is Hacktivist. They're from the UK. They do like kind of like that like UK drill type stuff, but over gent. And
that's pretty sick.
Oh, I think you showed me that. You showed me that like when we went to go check out the music video studio. Yeah, I remember Hacktivist.
So DVSR and Hacktivist. I think you'll like them. They're pretty fire.
Yeah. I'll check them out.
I like Guerrilla Warfare. They're a new rap metal band but they're a little bit more, they kind of mix like rap metal with hardcore. And they're basically they like slamcore and stuff like that. Like it's really good. It's basically just Rage Against the Machine but if it was like heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
Oh dude, speaking of Rage, there's also a Thai band called Bomb At Track. They're basically like the Thai version of Rage Against the Machine. I love them.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
I recently discovered like a Canadian of Rage called Ooh, okay. yeah and I prefer them over Rage because I think Rage Against the Machine is shit, but
what,
yes, I hate, I know, I'm so weird, I hate Queen.
Whoa.
I
Whoa.
Hate David Bowie and I hate Rage Against the Machine.
Hot takes.
Is it what, yeah, is it Zach Day? Do you not really like Zach Day La Rocha? Is that the problem?
I just don't like them all. I think they suck as people. Whoa. I think their music sucks ass.
Oh, man, but Tom Morello is such a god.
I mean, like, musically, they're all right, but I think they're
preachy.
Well, it's...
I agree with you on that, but you also have to understand, yeah, they're preachy, but, like, that's... Like, Rage Against the Machine is a political band. I will say, though, have you ever heard of Fever 333?
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, dude, like they're obviously like Rage and Linkin Park mixed together, but I hate them because like their politics are just stupid. It's basically just complaining and complaining. Like, but with Rage Against the Machine, like I don't feel like it's like preachy or complaining. Like all the songs are super catchy. You know what I mean? They're super
So
Mac, real quick. So do you not like System of a Down then?
I love System of a Down, actually.
How
I know,
can you
I know.
Not like I know, Rage, I know. But like System of a Down.
I know.
It's different. Weird. It's, you can't. It's like comparing apples and oranges. You can't.
No, it's
you can't,
not.
Yes, it is.
They're
politics.
Dude,
are you kidding
the
me?
Same.
Okay, no, but System of a Down is like different sounding wise.
Yeah.
Here's my take on all of that. So when you're a political band, it is what it is. Like, and that's, I just accept that type of, cause it what it is they're trying to like pretty much just market to that type of audience and it works. And that's what I appreciate of it. Like I don't agree on a lot of Rage's takes, a lot of Fever's takes.
I do.
No, there's certain things I do agree with, but there are a lot of things like I really like. I'm like, you're off the ball on this one. But
yeah,
I appreciate their music so much. And it does speak some truth, like their actual like lyrics in the songs.
Yeah, okay.
What was that one band you recommended? The Canadian one, Funk, what was it?
Funk Vigilante. They're like similar to Rage in their like political message, except I think they're more like not moderate, but they're more like, I feel like everyone, not everyone, but more people, they're not like targeting someone, like, I know that rage isn't like targeting people, but you know, it's less against a certain group of people and more against like an idea, you know.
Do they have a song that like shits on Quebec at all?
if only.
What's that band called? The Canadian band?
Funk Vigilante.
Yeah. Man, don't you guys pay attention?
Why do you hate Quebec, one album dipped? I hate Quebec because I don't know. It's just the worst place. It's just the worst place.
He's not from Quebec. That's honestly.
Hold on. I know what it is. Hold on. Quebec is like the French area, right?
Yeah.
That's why.
Yep, exactly.
There is. I know this because I watch hockey all the time. There is a like a natural hate in Canada for French Canadians.
but it's weird because like I think all Quebec wants to do is just like they just want to get out of the Canadian government, right? Isn't that?
Yeah. But it's weird though. They like I just interviewed a guy from Quebec and he was cool. Like I don't hate everyone from Quebec, but. But we have this political party called the Bloc Québécois, and yeah. their idea is to get in and then separate from Canada, get Quebec out of Canada. However, getting in to Canada's government automatically means that you separate. Like there's something that in the like I can't remember what it is, but when you become a political party, that's one thing that you're not allowed to do, like as a federal party.
Huh. Mm.
Yeah, and it's weird too, and they get like lots of votes, but there's no reason why they should because there's not enough seats that could be elected in Quebec, and because they're only in Quebec. That they could ever be a federal majority or minority. There's no way they could ever win.
It's like a weird French Canadian version of Brexit.
Exactly.
yeah, that's interesting. I have absolutely no idea about Canadian politics. So
yeah,
what's funny is that Max, do you watch what is it? J. Allen McHugh?
No, I don't.
That's kind of how I like know about Canadian politics. He's more on like the right of Canadian politics, but he basically just kind of runs down like Canadian politics, like what's going on in Quebec. Like, you know, I like him. He's pretty cool.
All right. I'll have to check him out. When I look up Canadian politics and stuff, I usually look at like mainstream stuff and listen to like a bunch of podcasts too about it. So, and then I make my own thoughts, you know. It's just, yeah. I like to see where everyone's coming from, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I agree. I mean, I work in politics as my day job, and I think like diversity of stuff is really important. So I read New York Times and I read the Wall Street Journal. You know, it's if you're,
oh, wow.
if you're
wow.
Only,
how diverse, Brad.
That's literally the left and the right.
Left and right is New York Times and then whatever. Oh, it's a New York Daily Post. Watch. New York Post is very right.
Yeah, I feel like New York Post is more like center right than anything. But
I don't know. I think they're pretty right.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong. You could be wrong. Who knows?
I don't read a lot of American news.
Good for you.
I don't even know how I know most of the stuff in politics, like because I don't read that much about it. I'm more a history guy.
But love history.
I know, right? It's so It's so crazy to just be able to draw different historical events to now.
Yeah, it's super fun, and it gives you so much context for what's going on right now. Because I think when you tend to only look at the present, you think, gosh, everything's so new and we've never seen anything like this before, and it's so creepy. And then you look at history and you're like, okay, this has been kind of repeating for quite some time. And this is, you know, yeah.
Like, damn, this has been happening since Napoleon. You know, it's, yeah. then I guess I kind of get all my political knowledge from that. And then, you know, reading about everything and then, you know, just I love to base things off of historical precedent.
Yeah. No, I mean, when I was in your age, I had apps. I mean, I was way more into history than anything else. And then I kind of got into, I don't know, just the world. And the reason why I went into politics actually is because I thought politics is kind of like applied history, you know, like if history is mathematics, then the politics is like the engineering.
Exactly.
You know, so that's kind of how I viewed it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a good way to look at it, honestly.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to look at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's I don't know how we got here.
No, I don't know, but we took a long route.
Objective bands that we don't like, and then
we can move on though. We can move on though.
We don't have a lot of time. We have about 5 minutes left, so
okay.
We could talk about. I have no idea. Like,
what are our plans?
Yeah, what are you guys' plans for the future? Like, musically, personally, whatever, you know? What are you guys working on?
Yeah, I mean, so as we stated earlier, we're working on a new batch of songs. And well, again, we wrote them with Connor. These are kind of the first round of songs that we wrote with Connor. So of course he's gonna add his periphery and freaking weird ass prog and gent touch to it. So it's gonna be probably the heaviest material that we've done so far. It's definitely going to be the most technical material that we've done so far, and definitely the most demanding as far as our musicianship. But we love the journey. I've never been happier in this band than right now. I think the group of guys that we got together are extremely talented, and I love writing with them and performing with them. And we're just gonna, you know, it's been crazy with COVID, kind of it killed, you know, like every other band, it killed our momentum completely, but it also gave us the opportunity to stop, look at what we were doing and sort of figure out what was going on. So, you know, at the beginning of the pandemic, we had like, I think 350 followers on Instagram, and we're up to like over 1100 now, which is really cool to see. And our audience has grown a lot, just because we were able to really take a critical look of how we were approaching our social media, how we were approaching our marketing, how we were approaching how we release our music, and just kind of revamp it all. So we're just going to keep steamrolling ahead what we're doing and try to, you know, gain as much of an audience as we can. And just hopefully people enjoy the music. I mean, that's kind of what it's all about.
Yeah, man, definitely. I've been really enjoying all of your stuff. It's like from new to old. I think you guys have been doing pretty well with your music.
Thanks, man. Thank you. And, you know, we'll keep charging ahead, keep experimenting and stuff. I think, I think we're going to be putting piano in the song for the one of the first times. I think we have an old track with piano on it as well. So we just,
it was Obligations, right?
Wow. Okay. So you do know our catalog.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
Max.
Yeah.
Good job.
I listened to that one this morning.
Oh man, dude, that whole EP, I still love the songs on that EP, but I was such an idiot. Like the whole time we were recording it, I was just so 100% adamantly like no auto tune, no pitch correction at all. No da da da, whatever. And my vocals just sound awful because we were but
I thought they sounded good.
I'm glad. It's just not, you know, we were doing that EP on a shoestring budget. So like I had to record all six tracks in like 2 or 3 hours. Like I got to do one or two takes of, you know, and that's pretty much it. So it was like whatever comes out. So now though, we take way more time. We actually work with the guy who recorded, I don't know if you know the Mars Volta or At the Drive-In, but he recorded those bands. His name's Sean Sullivan, and he's our producer, and we love working with him. So we take our time for sure, and we like to get into the production of things and the minute details. So it's fun. We're gonna keep on going, keep on pressing on, and hopefully, you know, get people to bang their heads. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Cool, man. I can't wait to hear some stuff. Where can my listeners find you?
You can check us out on Instagram at @against_the_sun. Of course, Against the Sun on Spotify. We have all of our stuff up there. And then we're also on TikTok as well. Again, it's @against_the_sun. You can check out our silly little the TikTok is where you get the stupidest content from us. So if you want all the ridiculous crap, you go to TikTok.
Yeah, we're all also right. on we're also on YouTube, Apple Music too, pretty much most streaming services like that.
Yeah, wherever you want to listen to music. We're going to get an OnlyFans soon.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been pushing it since, like, day one.
Against the Sun OnlyFans.
Oh, no. That's the that's the future of music marketing right there.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick, man. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show, guys. If you ever want to come back on the show, hit me up, because I'd love to have you guys on the show. This is probably one of my favorite interviews that I've done.
Oh, that's awesome. Hell, that's great to hear, man. Yeah, you're super chill guy. Thanks for having us on. Like, yeah, anytime we have, you know, something new out or doing something cool, like, absolutely. Super nice talking to you, man. Congratulations, too, for, like, you know, doing this for such a long time and everything, and like, you're super professional about it too. So
really,
you know, more power to you, man. I mean, we've dealt with folks who haven't been as professional that are like double your age. So you should be proud.
Oh yeah.
That means a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. But again, thank you so much for having us on. This has been a blast.
No problem, man. Again, if you ever want to come back on, just hit me up and we'll work something out.
All right, man. You stay warm up there.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, good luck with your band.
Yeah, good luck.
Thanks. We're working on music, so hopefully we'll have some soon.
Send us that whenever you have it ready. I'd love to hear it.
All right, for sure, man.
All righty.
Okay, thanks so much, guys.
Bye, boys.
All right, see you.
Bye.
Coming up next, we've got my favorite Against the Sun track. This is Don't Pity Me off of their debut EP by Against the Sun. Again, this is Don't Pity Me.
I know that I'm not worth a thing, but I hope that one day you will pay attention to me when I put flowers at your door and call your mom a whore, cause she doesn't accept who you are. Neither do you. These are the friends you chose to bring. You were the cornerstone of what we had and what is lost now. Don't pity me with your goodbyes. Don't pity me with your goodbyes. Don't try to hide behind the famous disguise. The fact that you don't give a shit shows in your eyes, so don't pity me with your goodbyes. The sun is shining, but I really couldn't care less. I'd only give a flying fuck if I could enjoy it. I find it hard to find a way to find out where I should be. You never seem to have a problem with that. I miss the days when we had all the time in the world to think about everything. Think about nothing. I see you almost every other day and think, hey, maybe things will change. We share a glance, no words exchanged. This is the road you chose to take. These are the friends you chose to break. You were the cornerstone of what we had.